प्रायश्चित्तानि पापानां ज्ञात्वोक्तानि महर्षिभिः गुरुणां च लघूनां च गुरुणि च लघूनि च प्रायश्चित्तानि पापानां ज्ञात्वोक्तानि महर्षिभिः गुरुणां च लघूनां च गुरुणि च लघूनि च प्रायश्चित्तानि पापानां ज्ञात्वोक्तानि महर्षिभिः गुरुणां च लघूनां च गुरुणि च लघूनि च प्रायश्चित्तानि पापानां ज्ञात्वोक्तानि महर्षिभिः गुरुणां च लघूनां च गुरुणि च लघूनि च प्रायश्चित्तानि पापानां ज्ञात्वोक्तानि गुरुणां च लघूनां च गुरुणि च लघूनि च प्रायश्चित्तानि पापानां ज्ञात्वोक्तानि महर्षिभिः
गुरुणां
गुरुणां लघूनां
लाइट
च
also guruni
guruni
heavy
heavy
cha
cha
and laguni
laguni
light
light
cha
cha
also prayaschitani
prayaschitani
process of atonement
process of atonement
papana
of sinful activities
gyatva
knowing perfectly well
Uktani
have been prescribed
Maharshi Bhi
by great sages.
Translation: authorities who are learned scholars and sages have carefully ascertained that one should atone for the heaviest sins by undergoing a heavy process of atonement, and one should atone for lighter sins by undergoing a lighter atonement. Chanting Hare Krishna mantra, however, vanquishes all the effects of sinful activities, regardless of whether heavy or light. For a part in this regard, Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes an incident that took place when Sama was rescued from the punishment of the Kauravas. Sama fell in love with the daughter of Duryodhana, and since, according to Kshatriya custom, one is not offered a Kshatriya's daughter unless he displays the chivalrous valor. Sama abducted her. Consequently, Sama was arrested by the Kauravas. Later, when Lord Balaram came to rescue him, there was an argument about Sama's release. Since the argument was not settled, Balaram showed his power in such a way that all Hastinapur trembled and would have been vanquished as if by a great earthquake. Then the matter was settled, and Sama married Duryodhana's daughter. Incorporated as the one who takes shelter of Krishna Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose protective power is so great that he cannot be equaled in the material world. However powerful the reactions of one's sins, they will immediately vanquish one chants the name of Hare Krishna Balaram and Narayana. Although one may neutralize the reaction of the sinful life through austerity, charity, vows, and other such methods, these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires in one's heart. However, if one serves the lotus feet of the personality of God, he is immediately freed from all such contamination. Purport has stated, Shuman Bhavatam Bhakti Pareshanu Bhavo Viraktir Anyatra Cha. Devotional service is so powerful that one who performs devotional service is immediately free from all sinful desires. All desires within this material world are sinful because material desire means sense gratification, which always involves action that is more or less sinful. Pure bhakti, however, is anyavilashita shunya. In other words, it is free from material desires, which result from karma and jnana. One who is situated in devotional service no longer has material desires, and therefore is beyond sinful life. Material desires should be completely stopped. Otherwise, although one's austerities, penances, and charity may free one from sin for the time being, one's desires will reappear because his heart is impure. Thus he will act sinfully and suffer. As a fire burns dry grass to ashes, so the holy name of the Lord, whether chanted knowingly or unknowingly, burns to ashes without fail all the reactions of one's sinful activities. Wherefore, fire will act regardless of whether handled by an innocent child or by someone well aware of its power. For example, a field of straw or dry grass is set on fire, either by an elderly man who knows the power of fire or a child who does not, the grass will be burned to ashes. Similarly, one may or may not know the power of chanting Hare Krishna mantra, but if one chants the holy name, he will be free from all sinful reactions. If a person unaware of the effective potency of a certain medicine takes the medicine or is forced to take it, he will act even without his knowledge because his potency does not depend on the patient's understanding. Similarly, even though one does not know the value of chanting the holy name of the Lord, if one chants knowingly or unknowingly, the chanting will be effective. Wherefore, in Western consciousness, where the Hare Krishna movement is spreading, learners, scholars, and other thoughtful men are realizing its effectiveness. For example, Dr. Dilson Juda, a learned scholar, has been very attracted to this movement because he has actually seen that it is turning hippies addicted to drugs and the pure Vaishnavas who voluntarily become servants of Krishna and humanity. Even a few years ago, such hippies did not know the Hare Krishna mantra, but now they are chanting and becoming pure Vaishnavas. Thus, they are becoming free from all sinful activities such as illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. This is practical proof of the effectiveness of the Hare Krishna movement, which is recorded in this verse. One may or may not know the value of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, but if one somehow or other chants it, he will immediately purify, just as one takes a potent medicine will feel its effectiveness regardless of whether he takes it knowingly or unknowingly. Authorities who are learned scholars and sages have carefully ascertained that one should atone for the heaviest sins by undergoing a heavy process of atonement, and one should atone for lighter sins by undergoing lighter atonement. Chanting Hare Krishna mantra, however, vanquishes all effects of sinful activities regardless of whether heavy or light. So these are further explanations of the power of chanting the name of the Lord. So in all cases it will work, whether the sin is grave or whether the sin is insignificant. The same process can be applied, that is chanting. Whereas for other sinful activities, the prayaschittas are different. So if there is a mild sin, a mild prayaschitta is required, whereas a grave sin requires a very serious prayaschitta or vow. So that means that prayaschittas or atonements are of various powers. Some are more powerful than others. Chanting of the Lord's name, however, is most powerful. So therefore, it will work on any of the sinful activities. At the same time, generally one does not prescribe a heavy atonement for a light sin because it is very difficult. So why do something difficult for something which is insignificant? The name of the chanting the name of the Lord is not difficult, so therefore it can be used in both cases, whether it's a heavy sin or a light sin. It equally destroys the sinful reaction. So in this way, it is appropriate to chant the name in all cases. So in the Bhagavad Gita, for instance, there Krishna says that Apichet Sudara Charo, if you are very sinful, very sinful act, still you are my devotee. I consider you my devotee. Sado Evrasalam Padya. You're still considered my devotee. So the prescription there, or the condition for that, is that one should seriously continue one's devotional service. And one does not have to do prayaschitta because of the sin. The bhakti itself will take care of the effects and remove the obstacles. So we don't have, one does not have to do some other process, but simply do devotional service. So that is the one characteristic mentioned here. The other is that even one does not know about it, still it acts. Just as medicine acts, whether one knows about it or not. So the child takes the medicine, the adult takes the medicine, it works. Or the child lights the fire, or the adult lights the fire, it works. It destroys the grass or whatever. So the same way, knowingly or unknowingly one chants, it has effect of destroying the karmas. However, we should also understand that generally we say that one should have knowledge in chanting the holy name. So how is it knowing or unknowing it destroys the sin? So that is so. It destroys the sin in any case. But there are other things that take place also. So if one has knowledge and chants with faith, then these other effects take place, whereas they do not take place so much when one has no knowledge. So what are these other effects besides destroying the effects of sin? So there are many effects, of course, but the main effect is that one develops devotion. And that turns into prema. So unknowing chanting cannot do that. It will not produce prema. It will destroy the sinful reactions, but it will not produce prema. So that is the difference between chanting with knowledge and chanting without knowledge. So equally, both with knowledge or without knowledge, one can destroy sinful reactions. But one cannot get prema with this unknown chanting, in most cases. Now, there may be mercy of the Lord which will give that, but otherwise, no. Therefore, the prescription for people who are serious is that they should chant with knowledge. Then we become free from abhas, and then we can chant purely, and then we can progress from bhakti to prema. That is the prescription. For those who are not faithful, they have no faith, then this is the method prescribed. Just let them somehow or other chant the name as Ajamil did. And this way, at least they get free from sinful reactions. They don't have to suffer so much in this material world. If they do this, fine. The problem, of course, is that if we chant to get rid of sinful reactions with knowledge, then this also becomes mixed bhakti. And if we chant to get rid of sins in order to commit more sins, then this becomes offense. So this idea of chanting without knowledge works under certain conditions only. That is, we don't exploit the situation. And if we do, then one does not destroy all one's sinful reactions by the process, simply to destroy the effects and get more. So this is not the case. So if it's completely accidental and innocent, then it works. Otherwise, it does not work to the same degree. So, therefore, the holy name has various effects in various ways. So we have to understand that even though here the effect is the same, knowing or unknowing chanting destroys sins. Yes, that is so. That is provided we don't have aparad or whatever. Now that we're exploiting the name to simply commit more sinful activities, then it has this effect. So in any case, it is advisable to chant with devotion and knowledge. This is a higher level of chanting than chanting simply accidentally. So chanting accidentally gets rid of sinful reactions. Chanting with knowledge develops our bhakti, and as well it destroys all sinful reactions. So it is, if we want devotion, then we have to chant with devotion and devotional knowledge. And this will help us speedily get to the stage of perfection.
Although they were chanting, but they committed sinful activities, holding all the Rangavi principles. And finally they realized their sin. And then they took up chanting, but the chanting is effective.
Well, as I said, Achamil committed so many sinful activities, and he chanted accidentally, all his sins were destroyed. And so if one takes up devotional service and chants intentionally, same effect, as it's said here. Knowingly or unknowingly, one chants the name, the same effect is there. Just as the fire will burn up the grass, whether one knows the power of fire or not. So whether we know about the power of the holy name or not, when we chant it, still the effect is there, provided we don't have offense.
Sinful activities.
Yeah.
Knowing, but later on they realize.
Well, whether it's knowing sinful activities or not, that's not the case. The idea is that chanting knowingly or unknowingly will destroy all of the effects.
Even
afterwards, well, the same rule applies. Krishna says, apichet sudaracharo. If you're my devotee and you commit sinful activity, either before or after, in any case, the only prize gets is bhakti itself. And you said you're still my devotee. So, in the case of devotees committing sinful activities, we see it can be due to anarthas, because the process of anarthavritti is there. One may commit a sinful activity. So the sinful activities are not considered so serious as aparadhas. The effect is not so great. So sinful activities do not destroy bhakti, but aparadhas can. So aparadhas are much more serious than sinful activities. However, the sinful activity may become a aparadha, committing sinful activities in the strength of the holy name. In that case, then it will help destroy bhakti. It will also. Otherwise, the sinful activities are not so serious as the aparadha.
Yeah, but
knowing
that sinful activities.
Well, knowingly means what? Everybody knows in one sense what a sin is. So, an accidental sin is not exactly accidental unless it's completely unintentional. You stepped on a bug and killed it by mistake. Okay, that's accidental. But if we do a sinful activity, we do have some knowledge that it's sinful or whatever. But if we think, I will do the sinful activity and I'll chant and I'll get rid of the reaction, then that becomes a parada. Then it doesn't destroy the sin. Your bhakti does not destroy the sin. Your bhakti gets destroyed. If you do the sinful activity, and then you continue devotional service, the devotional service itself will destroy the effects.
To be vice versa, like, once they chant, you can understand the script is more better. So by knowledge, one can chant properly, can be the other side also. One chants sincerely, his understanding Bhagavad Gita will be more better. Both ways. If one chants sincerely, his understanding of Shastra will be more better.
Of course. Well, they have to know the difference between God and Jiva, the difference between matter and Jiva and God, and have to know the principles of devotional service and how it works. At least that much they have to know. And Krishna says, I give the intelligence by which you can come to me.
The devotees have left the mood a long time ago. They are coming back, but they are not, they are not getting the real bliss or happiness. What is their situation?
If they don't get bliss or happiness, or what?
I mean, a long time they left.
Yeah.
They have left simple activities.
Yeah. Okay, if people live the simple activities, they come back, fine. They do devotional service, good for them. Krishna says one who is even the most sinful person is still my devotee. So they're qualified for bhakti still. And they're not excluded, provided they don't give it up or up. So they can still progress. Doing devotional service can progress. In other words, sin is not such a problem as aparad. Aparad is much worse because it destroys bhakti completely. Sin does not do that.
Since aparad is the most improvement for the advancement of bhakti, after committing aparad, we discuss bhakti. How to really avoid aparad? Because we keep saying,
we have to be conscious of it, that's all. Use our intelligence. We have to put some effort into our devotional service. So that is one of the things.
Anarthas or whatever past bad habits, like a habit of thought, and it's very strong. So sometimes the intelligence fails, sometimes we get over that, and sometimes we don't.
Well, that's what we have to deal with that. We have to get the results, that's all. Maybe we have to learn from experience.
And they depend on their faith and all things. They have to depend for their sin.
Well, definitely. The idea of if you're committing the sins with the idea that devotional service is going to relieve you of the effects, then it becomes aparad.
Thank you.